Hi, and welcome to the next episode of Microsoft Dev Radio. I'm Jerry Nixon, and I'm here with Chuck Lantz. He's on the Visual Studio Team, Senior Program Manager with the Client Tools. Chuck, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Happy to be here.
Chuck, we're going to talk about Cordova and all the stuff that's wrapped around that, but before we do, tell us a little bit about who you are.
Sure. I'm a Senior Program Manager on the VS Client Tools team. I've actually been with Microsoft for about 2 years. Before that, I actually was in enterprise software development. And so a lot of the work that I kind of did back then, I've brought with me. And recently, we've been working on Cordova tooling, specifically something called multi-device hybrid apps for Visual Studio. But we like to call it Cordova tools because it's a little easier to say than the other.
Now, I know that this tooling is, right now we're at CTP2, and is this the last one, and then it'll be real after this? I don't mean real, but you know what I mean?
Yeah, so we kind of took a little bit of a different tact on this particular product than others, partially because of how closely aligned it is with an open source project. And so what we decided to do was actually release a series of CTPs very early. We're trying to do frequent releases, get feedback from our customers, and iterate kind of incrementally, rather than doing a more traditional, you know, big VS style release that you've seen in the past. We've got another one that's going to be coming out probably in another few months, and we'll continue to actually iterate from there for quite a while.
Got it. So, I mean, that project's not going to be on the same release cadence as Visual Studio, of course,
no.
But you've got to kind of track with them in order to keep up, right?
Yes, exactly.
So that makes me want to ask you a quick question. A developer who might be listening to this and they are wanting to use the tooling, is it safe right now?
Yeah, it definitely is. Even though we're doing these CTPs and kind of doing an incremental development process, Cordova itself has actually been around for a very long time. And I can actually tell you a little bit about what the project is, the open source project is about. It actually started out life as something called PhoneGap. Which most people have heard of. There was a consulting firm called Natobi. They created this PhoneGap project. Adobe actually acquired Natobi, spun off Cordova as a open source project to the Apache project. And really what it is it's a framework and tool chain designed to allow developers build a packaged web applications, basically be able to take a series of web assets, pull them together, deploy them in a native application that can access device capabilities that you normally can't access from a web browser. And so the term hybrid applications generally is synonymous with Cordova for that very reason. It really is kind of part of the same ecosystem.
Let me pause you for a second here. So yep. We're looking at the Windows environment, but of course Cordova or PhoneGap, it wasn't born for Windows, right? It was other platforms first. And what do you know? Which one was it? Was it Android or iPhone? Do you know?
iOS and Android were really the first two. Those are the oldest implementations. Now they've got about, I think it's around 10 different platforms that are supported in the framework. Everything from, like you said, Android, iOS, in our world, Windows applications as well as Windows Phone, BlackBerry, Ubuntu, Fire OS. There's actually quite a few of them. So one of the key values it's trying to deliver is the ability to build these packaged web applications and deploy them on a number of different device platforms quickly.
The idea would be it's almost like write once, deploy many places, right? That's the gist of it.
Yes. I mean, that's kind of the goal behind the framework is the write once, run anywhere promise. And, the idea is you're going to be using kind of tools and techniques that you're used to doing when you're doing traditional web development, where you kind of are doing this style of development already. It just happens to be you're targeting Chrome and IE and other browsers. As with any platform, there are adjustments you need to make. But the advantage web developers have is they're actually fairly used to to dealing with these browser differences. And so when you kind of bring this to a hybrid environment, they can take those exact same approaches they've dealt with, like, you know, progressive light up and things of that nature, and apply them to an actual application that they can then deploy to their mobile device. And it ends up being a pretty compelling story to be able to get an app up and running very quickly.
So, and part of the compelling story is you're going to be using skills, your web skills that probably every developer honestly has, right? You're going to have a few developers who know the native iOS. You're going to have a few developers who know native Android. You're going to have developers who know native Windows. But pretty much all those guys are going to know web technology. So this is a pretty compelling story to say, you probably already have these skills in your development team already. Now you can write and you can deploy to all of them. And I guess Cordova is kind of like the browser that you're writing to. And so where I expect for Chrome or IE to run on all the different platforms, I can expect for Cordova to run on all of the different platforms. And that's where I'm actually seeing my application run through.
Yeah, and effectively, you know, anybody that's writing client-side JavaScript-based web applications are already building apps this way. You know, frameworks like AngularJS have become increasingly popular. In our own world, we just took WinJS and actually made that cross-platform for the web, same kind of thing. And so if you're already building web applications in that way, you can kind of reuse those skills and start taking advantage then of native device capabilities, everything from, you know, camera to, you know, the barcode scanning, and pretty much any kind of feature you can think of. There's essentially a set of what are called plugins that are effectively components that have a JavaScript API with platform-specific implementations across a number of different platforms. And the Cordova project itself has a number of them that it's created. And there's also a plugin ecosystem that's actually starting to grow and get bigger, and an official plugin repository at plugins.cordova.io that has a place where third parties can actually submit their own plugins that you can then bring in.
And some, maybe some are free, some aren't. Probably majority are, I would imagine, if not all of them.
Yeah, the majority of them are free. There are some that are pay. You know, an example of this is actually there's a plugin called JS Highbugger that is specifically designed to help people build Android applications. You couldn't actually attach a debugger to the web view that is used in the Android implementation of Cordova previous to Android 4.4. So JS Highbugger actually instruments the exact same protocols that more recent Android devices have on older devices. And that actually, there's a free license, but then there's also a pay license there. Our own Azure Mobile Services actually has a Cordova plugin now that is designed to make it really easy for people to take advantage of services. So another thing you'll start to see is you know, plugins that wire in some native functionality and some JavaScript libraries and provide you a set of APIs just by installing the plugin. In that case, it's service attached, so you don't necessarily pay for the plugin, but you know, you've got that too. So it's anything from just lighting up device capabilities to full services to whole new capabilities.
Beautiful.
Like I was mentioning with JS Highbugger.
Beautiful. But man, there's a freaking Azure SDK for everything now.
Yes.
Let me ask you this. You are on the Cordova tools for Visual Studio. Of all the stuff that we were just talking about, that's not what you build.
That's right. Yeah. So basically, for a while now, Microsoft and specifically MS Open Technologies has been getting involved in the Cordova project to make sure that our platforms are well represented there. We've got a number of individuals that have been contributing and collaborating with companies involved, like there's Adobe, IBM, Google, BlackBerry, Intel, Mozilla. Pretty much, you name it, they're involved. And
now, wait just a second. Let me just make sure everybody's up to speed with us. So,
yeah.
MS Open is a new division inside Microsoft. that allows us to both contribute and support to tons of open source communities and open source projects out there, right?
That's so exactly
Yep. So you're not asking the office team to contribute. No, now that's what MS Open does, and they're fully engaged, and you work with them a lot, I would imagine.
Yeah. So effectively, you know, they were involved in this project a while ago, and one of the things we've definitely been hearing from our enterprise customers in particular is, you know, really we live in a heterogeneous device environment in an enterprise. It's not a single platform. It's not just Windows. It's not just iOS. It's not just Android. It's a number of different things, and so they were desperately looking for solutions for how they could quickly, easily meet this kind of multi-device need. And so, you know, we're obviously there are a number of different solutions out there to kind of deal with this problem. And there's kind of a continuum depending on exactly what you're trying to do. There are going to be circumstances where, yeah, you really do want to build native for each platform if you're trying to get that optimal, perfect experience. Pure web applications may meet your need in some situations, and hybrids are right in the middle, right? It's this situation where the web really would meet your needs for all intents and purposes from a user experience perspective. You like the cross-platform nature of it. You like the fact that it is not tied to a specific device platform. So another challenge that can come up is every time a native platform updates, there's a risk of breakage for, you know, native UI APIs and things of that nature. Obviously, recently, a lot of times Silverlight's brought up in our own environment as an example of this. And the web is the ultimate equalizer. It works across all platforms. All of us are incented to make the web work well. And so there's a lot of appeal in that approach. So there's a good segment.
Let me lay out the spectrum that you just did to make sure I'm with you. So on one side, the far spectrum, you have just web apps, right? And we've all been to mobile websites that work and act like a mobile application. They don't feel exactly the same, but often that's enough, right? And then we have on that other far spectrum, pure native apps. They're written specifically for the platform, and we know that we can step back and look at that. If they're going to write a pure native app, they've probably got three full code bases, right, run for every platform.
That's
and then
right.
in the middle, here's Cordova. It's got a native shell. Is that an okay? I mean, what do you guys call it? The native?
Yeah, it's a
wrapper.
It actually varies by platform. And when we think about our kind of own platforms, Windows Store in particular, it's actually the real Windows Store JavaScript container that people can use. So it's actually the native platform on iOS and Android, where they don't have that capability yet. It is actually a native code with a web view inside it. And then one of the big things Cordova does is provide a way to bridge.
Know, right? Developers,
that's right.
I mean, you come over to the Windows platform where you don't have to have this wrapper around at all. Right. You don't know that. You still code the same. You just get all the benefits of it being a little more integrated.
Yeah, exactly. And on the Windows platform, effectively, you have simple JavaScript adapters that adapt APIs to what is already available there. In the case of iOS and Android, those exact same APIs exist, but then have a bridge from the web view into actual native code that those plugins then install. So the nice thing is the project is always trying to take advantage of the best technology available on that platform to make it as quick as possible.
Nice. Of course, as close to native as possible, right?
Exactly. That's the goal, is to get as close to native as possible. And obviously, we as Microsoft have taken a big strategic bet on JavaScript as a first-class citizen for development.
Right.
And this fits right along with that as a great way to kind of take advantage of JavaScript for not just our platforms, but others as well. And so, you know, like I was saying, we had heard a lot about this from enterprise customers, and realizing that this kind of hybrid app development was solidly positioned to actually meet a large amount of their needs, we started taking a look at what we could do in Visual Studio to actually help out making this style of development easier. Oftentimes when you start with Cordova, you're using a series of command line tools and perhaps something like Sublime Text. So if you're come from that world, you're fairly comfortable. But you know, debugging is different on each platform. You have to have kind of a different understanding of how to wire things up to actually get your development going. And if you're an expert, you can get there. But what we wanted to do is provide a great IDE kind of integrated experience where you would have a one-stop shop for developing for iOS, Android, Windows, and Windows Phone right from VS. So that's what our multi-device hybrid apps kind of product is designed to do, and we're going to continue to enhance here over the next many months.
So my normal experience inside Visual Studio is file a new project and I pick the target platform, whatever it is I want. Now I can do the same thing for a Cordova or project, right? File a new project. What's the experience? What's the experience for the developer? Do they ever have to go outside of Visual Studio? And what is the debug experience feel like?
Yeah, so why don't I actually do a brief demo here? I can actually show you what we've been working on and give you that exact picture.
Awesome. All right, Chuck, this is home for me right inside Visual Studio. What should I be looking at?
Yeah, so what we've done is tried to make this as familiar and comfortable for the people that used Visual Studio. So we've actually taken advantage of our existing JavaScript project structure to allow you to actually target four different devices from a single project, as you can see here. Getting into this spot is really simple. It's the classic, file new experience. Whoa. Sorry. And we have a simple blank template that will pop you into one of our multi-device Apache Cordova-based projects.
And that's going to be sitting there for all the developers who have the CTP installed.
That's exactly right. So if you install the CTP, we actually have an installer that will not only install the bits necessary to get Visual Studio up and running, but also goes the extra mile to try to set up all of the third-party dependencies that you're going to need. One of the big challenges getting up and running the first time you're starting to do this style of development is you're going to need the Android SDK, you're going to need Java, you're going to need emulators, you're going to need Node.js. You're going to need Cordova itself. So our installer will actually take care of that all for you. So by the time
I understand. So yeah. All that stuff comes as part of it. So I'm not going to need to go find it and bring it down. Everything I need is there for Windows and for, it sounds like, Android and ..
Yes, so we pull down everything necessary to do Android, Windows, Windows Phone, and even iOS, though I'll talk a bit about that a little bit since there's a little extra step we have to do there. But yeah, the goal is that after you do the install, you're set to target those four platforms right from Visual Studio. So what I did here is I've got a project that I pulled up. It's a simple AngularJS to-do application, and I'll just kind of take you on a quick tour of what you can do once you've got a project like this open up. This is actually a sample application you can
do. So the first thing I have to notice is there's a single project in this. You don't have an Android project. You don't have a Windows project. You just have one.
Yes, that is a conscious decision we made in looking at this, because the interesting thing with a unified code base like this is that we actually toyed with the idea of having a separate node for each platform. And of course, you end up with an empty node for Android, an empty node for iOS, an empty node for Windows, and then all of your code in shared. And so instead, what we've opted to do is allow you to target simply by picking from this platform dropdown.
Nice, nice.
And we're going to be doing some streamlining on this in the coming months. But this gives you a really quick way to be able to switch between Android, iOS, Windows, Windows Phone, whatever works. And as you can see, as I'm selecting here, the debug targets here are dynamically updating as well. So let's kind of start off. I'll quickly build the application and deploy it to a simulator that we have integrated that is a Apache Cordova simulator called Ripple. Ripple is actually a web-based simulator for Cordova. It's very, very quick. As you saw, I built the app in just a couple seconds, and it pulls it up in actually Chrome. So that the advantage here is you can actually simulate the basics of a WebKit-based device like Android or iOS from Chrome. And because it's a simple browser-based environment, startup is really quick. You can make your edits, come back, get in here. And the interesting thing is it has some basic capabilities to actually simulate devices. So I can kind of go in here and type test. And there it actually went and grabbed the geolocation based on where I have this particular
map
set to. So it's a web-based simulator that allows developers to kind of follow their traditional web dev workflow. And so to enable that, we actually have gone to the step of integrating Visual Studio's entire debug experience to Chrome. And so right from VS, we can go in here and actually get into this to-do app, into the header, and let's just edit this. And there you can see I actually dynamically updated that. Now, this is actually in the browser itself. This is the first time we've kind of had this direct integration experience with Chrome. But it didn't stop there. We actually have gone a little farther, and I'll talk a little bit about that in a second. So the other thing is as you probably saw, we took advantage of geolocation. There's this concept that I mentioned earlier of plugins, and what we've done to make managing and dealing with these different plugins easy is created a simple designer that allows you to go in and select, in this case, I'm going to light up the accelerometer, battery status, camera, so on and so forth, right from a quick config designer experience. You can also go in and edit the XML that is generated here directly, but we wanted to make this fast and easy for the most common plugins that people want to use. You can definitely use custom plugins as well. In fact, you can even just create a plugins folder right here and drop your plugin in, and we'll automatically pull it in and build it with the rest of the application.
Beautiful. Beautiful. And from a Windows side of things, when this finally builds out to a the app you're going to submit to the store, these transfer over to any kind of declarations you need in the AppX.
Yes, exactly. So I can actually show you that. So we'll hop over here and we'll run it as a Windows application. And this is going to then build that exact same project. We were, in that case, targeting Ripple. Now we're going to actually create this as a Windows Store app. And this will pop it up. And to your point, if I do that exact same thing, you'll see it just prompts me. Yes, there we go.
Beautiful.
So, Cordova project.
How awesome is that, man? That is awesome. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, quite all right. Yeah, it's exciting because the beautiful thing with these plugins is they not only install the native code necessary to get it to work on the different platforms, but it also flips the appropriate switches in the various platform manifests to light up the permissions necessary to get the plugins to work. So they're a little beyond your classic concept of a library, and they fully are functional units that are designed to be fully self-contained, and when you install one, you're ready to go from a development perspective.
Does it ever happen that the developer needs to write native code?
Sure. You know, there are circumstances where you may want to create your own custom plugins, and there's actually some great documentation out on Cordova's website on how to do that. And in fact, earlier I mentioned that you can create a plugins folder in here, and I won't show that right now, but you can actually put in the native code and the appropriate plugin.xml and references right in your Visual Studio project, and build that right from here. So, you know, there's a, as I mentioned, there's this plugin ecosystem. There's a large number of base plugins that Cordova also provides. But you also have the ability to take advantage of, you know, cutting edge device capabilities if you need to, by creating your own custom plugins. So one of the advantages over other kind of abstracted multi-device frameworks is you're abstracted, but you, because of the way a plugin works, you can actually take advantage of the real native platform APIs directly through the creation of these custom plugins if you need to.
That's fantastic. Let me ask you two things that I'm thinking of while I'm staring at this. One, when you drop down and you say Android, iOS, Windows Phone, Windows, just to be clear, we're talking about Windows 8, right? We're talking about inside the modern framework.
Yes, that is correct. So Windows is this is Windows 8, Windows Phone 8. There is currently, right now, Cordova 3.6.0 should be coming out before too long, and that will actually have Windows 8 and 8.1 apps in a kind of a universal platform for the first time as well. And obviously, we're going to keep going as Windows moves forward with more work in that space.
But, so yeah, drop down the drop down, select iOS. Let me see what happens.
So yes, iOS. What we've got here is a challenge with iOS is that you cannot actually build iOS on Windows. The Apple just doesn't allow it. You need Xcode.
Issue, not a technical issue.
It's a combination. The Xcode tools and the SDKs are run on OS X, and then Apple does not, you know, from a licensing perspective, you know, copying and creating your own Xcode is obviously going to be problematic. So what we've actually done is we've created a remote build agent called VSMDA Remote.
Yep.
This is a NPM package, and so installing it, I mentioned the easy installation on the Windows side to kind of get all these other platforms up and running. But on OS X, you effectively install Node.js, do NPM install VSMDA remote, and we'll provide you, as a part of that startup, the information necessary for you to go into your Visual Studio instance and quickly set up the remote machine.
So the workflow basically is I do all the work inside Visual Studio. I get all the richness of Visual Studio. I'm ready to build. It ships it off to a Mac that's waiting, does all the build, sends it back to me. Is that right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. The agent is also able to start up the iOS simulator on the remote machine if you actually have your Mac sitting next to you and want to do some debugging there. And at the moment, we're not integrated with our debugger, but we're definitely looking at making sure that is possible as well. So a lot of investment we're going to be making in the iOS space in coming releases to even tighten up this story more than it is now.
That's a worthwhile question. How much investment is this? I mean, are we just dabbling in, or are we all in with this? You're going to see this the next version of Visual Studio 2?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, we're continuing to invest in it. Like I said, the reason we're doing the CTPs is not because we're not committed to it, but really because we want community feedback. We want our customers to give us feedback. We want to make sure this tool meets their needs, and then we're also through MS Open Tech and Visual Studio, we're both working with the Cordova community, and we want to give back.
Do we have community contributors to this project too? Do we take pull requests?
Basically, we've got a series of there's about six people from MS Open Tech directly involved. The Windows Unified Platform that I was mentioning, they actually spearheaded creating, they're going to be driving a lot of that into the next release. But we're also then collaborating and submitting pull requests and helping with fixes on other platforms and in this. In the core core tooling story for Cordova as well. They have a command line interface that we're using here. That is effectively their build system. So as we encounter things or hear things from customers, we're committed to working with the Cordova community to build up the community as a whole rather than creating a one-off implementation for Visual Studio. That is not our strategy. It's very much a integrated we're better together model. And submitting pull requests, accepting pull requests, we're very much a part of the overall community with all the other companies I was mentioning earlier.
And Chuck, I know a lot of people have to be thinking, or some people just don't get, how is Microsoft so involved in the open source community? It seems counterintuitive, but it's actually very important to Microsoft. Can you kind of talk through some of the strategy that Microsoft has and why we're so deeply and committed and engaged to this community now?
Yeah, I mean, the reality is that Microsoft and our developer community is using all sorts of platforms. It's a heterogeneous environment. We know that. We want to make sure that our customers are happy and are able to meet their business needs and objectives regardless of target. And so when it comes to something like a Apache Cordova, we know that in Microsoft, we can't be the experts in everything. And we know we can bring our expertise to that community and enrich it. And so, but we're very much better together rather than trying to kind of, segment ourselves off. It's a much more inclusive community. And then that's very much how that project is set up and is working.
I think that's a lot great, of people don't, they don't see that it could be a win-win, right? Microsoft's going to lose with, actually everybody can kind of win here if you do it all right. And I think the religion wars of technology have dramatically changed, and anybody on the outside looking in that they don't see all the changes that have happened, it's just not the way it was even last year. You know what I mean? There's just a lot of changes happening fast, and just a lot of peace and truce and just reality checks of hybrid communities or just the non-homogeneous reality of computers anymore.
Yeah, and the web community as a whole has always been very much embracing open source and is inherently multi-device. I mean, that's the browser world, and we grew up in this kind of an environment. So to a certain extent, Microsoft has always been behaving like this way in this particular area. It just so happens that now we're also starting to target devices with the same style of development. And it just really continues to enrich the overall story that we're all able to bring to the developer community.
Yeah, and bringing our tool, I mean, just nobody argues that Visual Studio is just stunning, right? I mean, just absolutely the things that it can bring to the table, and us to take this tooling, totally incorporate it the way you have. Now developers thinking, oh my gosh, this is awesome. Cordova allows me to write basically HTML, JavaScript, CSS, run it on any platform that I want, get a near perfect experience on each, and all this cross-platform work. They don't have to learn native, but it's not just for everybody. There's that sweet spot of the type of app that needs to use Cordova. It's a pretty wide sweet spot. Try to describe that sweet spot for me.
Sure, yeah. I think when you start talking about cross-platform tooling in general, you're looking for experiences that generally are branded, or where you don't want the UX in particular to be really very specific to that platform. So if you're looking for a Windows Phone app to look like a Windows Phone app, complete with the UX of each control, then native is going to meet your needs much better. Same thing if you're targeting iOS to look like iOS. For a while, iOS and Android were looking pretty alike. Now they're starting to separate a little bit. But at any rate, if you've got an experience that really is either branded in the public sense, or oftentimes in an enterprise scenario where you don't want differentiation across different devices because your training material is actually geared towards a specific workflow, these types of applications work really, really well. And there are situations where the You don't need to use high-performance UI native controls. The web is obviously ever-improving its performance, but if you're looking for C++-level performance, particularly on the UI stack where you've got, you know, 1 millisecond response times, bit of an extreme, but, you know, then you may not that's the reality. Yes, exactly. So, you know, like I said, these are apps
you've got apps that have a specific, they're going to look the same across every platform. That's an excellent target app. You've also got apps that are the training material or investment you've already made on one platform and you want to extend it to those other platforms. Again, it's kind of looking the same. Or you don't want those native controls. But as soon as you start turning the table a little bit, you do want those native controls. Or you want performance that HTML JavaScript won't give you. And we don't want to miscommunicate that, right? It's not this, we're down in not the 10% of apps. We're probably down in the 5-3% of apps out there that really need that kind of crazy performance. And then maybe there's one more type of app, maybe that V1 app that they just want to get out there on all the platforms before and then start really investing in it. They might be a candidate as well. Or if you're inside an enterprise and you've been supporting Android for the last 3 years, and now you've got to support iOS. Let's say Windows Phone isn't even in the store yet. That's totally cool because now you can do both with the Cordova solution and just toss in Windows Phone support for free.
Yep, and you know, other situations are where you've got an existing web presence, either mobile or not, where you've got a lot of assets you want to reuse. You've got your CSS style sheets that you want to be able to reuse. And so you can get a lot of code reuse, even with web-deployed applications, kind of in the scenario, which is unique compared to other even cross-platform technologies. And so that's another kind of key area is if you've got a lot of web development or it's associated, as many enterprise applications are, with a web presence of some sort, there's a lot of crossover and reuse that you can get out of it, particularly as the single page app style of development starts to become more and more popular, even desktop web development. These apps look very similar to that when it comes right down to it.
And a lot of developers don't know that Visual Studio is off the charts when it comes to HTML development, being able to debug JavaScript and do all these things that are just really amazing, right? They really are. I want to stop there. We've talked a long time. I want everybody to kind of soak it in. But before we do, I want to just step back, and I want you to look over all the features that we've introduced with this Cordova tooling, all the stuff that we've enabled developers to do. And somewhere in there is the one that you really like the best, the thing that is, oh, man, every developer needs to see this, or the thing that just makes you happy when you start using it. What's that one thing for you?
Sure. Yeah. I you know, to a certain extent, it's been actually lighting up both the Android emulator and devices, and actually the remote iOS agent has been a lot of fun to get up and running. And I'll never forget the day when we actually started up Visual Studio and were able to actually attach the debugger to an Android device for the first time. We're like, yes, it works. It's very exciting because we've got this great tight iterative workflow right from within Visual Studio that you can kind of do for any number of these platforms. So that I think is really exciting.
We're taking all of our great tooling, giving it to our developers and say, whatever platform suits you, right? Whatever the needs of your enterprise or whatever it is that your company is doing, we're going to be the tooling for you. And here's Cordova giving yet another beautiful option for it. Chuck, I appreciate all the time you took talking to me about all this. I'm excited about it. I know I want to go build my own Cordova app right now, deploy it on everything, get it running on my Palm Pilot as soon as possible. I'll be the only user, of course.
Yeah, I was going to say. Awesome. Great.
Awesome. Hey, thanks again, Chuck, and we'll talk to you again.
Thanks very much.